I got a couple questions for you today. We just put a new sunroom on our back, and they poured a concrete floor. This was in April, and it's already showing like cracks have developed. They're not deep cracks. You can't really feel them, but you can see where it's in like a couple of years it's going to be cracks. Is that normal?
Well, a couple questions. When they poured the floor, did they reinforce it with steel?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, well, that's huge.
Yeah,
that's really
I'm
good.
I'm pretty sure they did.
They shouldn't get huge. It kind of depends how wet they poured the concrete. If they poured it real wet, what happens is, you know, the water evaporates and you get what's called shrinkage cracking. And that, over time, they can get larger, but if it's reinforced with steel, that should really prevent them from getting too large. If they're hairline now and they're under a, you know, you have a roof over them, I wouldn't worry too much about them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay. I'll answer your
question.
How about I don't think it's normal. I don't think it's to be expected.
Well, yeah, here's a question. Are they straight cracks, or do they kind of look like spider webs?
Like spider webs.
Yeah, that's something that's called crazing, C-R-A-Z-I-N-G. And what happened with that is the surface set up differently than the below part. It happens a lot, unfortunately, in concrete.
Especially whether, hot weather.
Whether the sun's beating down on it, colder weather, the wind could be blowing over it. And when they're finishing the concrete, that means that top layer is going to set up a little bit faster and different. If you're a concrete finisher, you should have something called a surfactant retardant with you spraying on that concrete in those situations and those environments. However, like I said, I would probably put a sealer over top of that if it's the crazing. I'd apply a good sealer, and I just wouldn't worry too much about it because you are under, you know, it's under a roof.
And if it is crazing, those are not through the concrete cracks.
No, they're not through the concrete.
No.
Good point, Chuck.
Like nature stone over it or put an epoxy coating, is that, well, that'll still be okay?
Oh, gosh, you put a coating like Motor City Floors or Comer Cross puts on, you'll never have to worry about it again. You'll never see it. And
oh, yeah.
That'd work great. Yes.
Do they do epoxy? Do they come as far as Sandusky, Ohio?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure Motor City would, at least, I would think. But it's better than epoxy. It's much stronger than epoxy.
Oh, okay.
It comes with a lot better warranty. Check them out at theinsideoutsideguys.com. TrueTech may go down there as well.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Second question was, I have a outdoor spigot for my hose. It's a Mansfield valve, right? So it goes through the cinder block, and it goes where it goes into the house. It's like underneath our living room floor, which is a concrete slab. So I really can't pull the thing out, but it's leaking from the handle. So I bought new like packing and stuff for it. I'm just worried if I turn the water off to the house and I can't get it fixed, is it going to leak when I turn the water back on, or is because I can't pull this thing out. It's into the concrete.
If it's just it's a frost free unit. Do you know, Eric?
Hello, I'm sorry, I lost you for a minute.
Is it a frost free?
Yep, I'm
unit?
Here. That I don't know. You know, this house, our house was built in the late 60s, and we bought it in 94. So I don't really know.
In either case, if it's leaking through the handle, you should be able to shut that water off and redo the gaskets and packing right at the handle without issue. I would try it. I'd certainly have a plumber on standby like I would if I owned any house.
Eric, hopefully that answers your question. We appreciate your call. We're going to go to break, and we'll talk to Pamela when we get back from break. Chuck?
Absolutely. You know, we've been with Kearns Brothers for years, and they've been with us for years, and it's because we trust the fact that if they tell you they're going to do something, they will do it, and if they tell you they're going to stand behind a product, they will stand behind it. What more could you ask of a roofing company?
What more could you ask for than Kearns Brothers?
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. I want to remind you the show today is all about you, so the phone lines are open, 888-654-4897. We'd love to hear from you. And we've got a very patient Pamela in Clarkston. Are you still on the line with us, Pamela? Hello, Pamela.
Well, Pamela was calling for Clarkson about fixing a bedroom ceiling leak. So it looks like you give us a call back, Pamela. We'll get you on right away. 888-654-GUYS.
I like
it. Well, she obviously repaired the leak, and then she's looking for advice to get it repaired after, or get all the painting done afterwards, Chuck. And someone like Serta Propane or McFarland. Oh, Pamela's back. All right. Good deal. Hi, Pamela.
Hi. Hello. I live in a condominium, and there was a leak on the roof. The association fixed the leak on the roof, and actually they're planning to replace the entire roof this season. However, I'm left with this big spot in my bedroom on the ceiling. It's approximately 2 to 3 feet long and 10 to 12 inches wide, and another smaller spot. And my question is this, do I need to replace the drywall, or would painting be good enough for this? And also, is there any residual problem above the ceiling?
Oh, all great questions. We'd call a professional in like Serta Pro Painters or McFarland Painting, and they can come in and take a look at it. They'll let you know whether they think the drywall needs to replace. If you don't see it bubbling much, punky or bubbling, hopefully you're still listening, it shouldn't need to be replaced. Might just need to be, there may be some repair work that needs to be done to it, but either one of those companies, Serta Pro or McFarland Painting, can come out and take a look at it.
And you mentioned above it, you probably don't own beyond the surface of the drywall in the attic space. I would put a documented request into the condo association to have somebody inspect the attic, make sure there's no black mold or anything up there that needs to be remediated.
Okay, you just made a lot of people go, huh? What do you mean she doesn't own above the drywall space? Explain
that,
please.
Well, just based on what she said, if the condo association fixed the leak in the roof, that means the roof is their responsibility. And depending on how your condominium documents read, your ownership could begin within the conditioned space, which is typical. Or, you know, it could begin outside of the finished building space, which it doesn't in her case. So she needs to discover that and make sure that there's not an issue in the attic, depending on how long that roof leak existed.
And the condominium association or the management company or both should be put on notice that they need to come out and take a look up into the attic. Pamela, you're back. Did you hear that? Okay.
Oh, well.
Hopefully she had a chance to hear all that. If not, Pamela, send us an email at theinsideoutsideguys.com. Hey, let's go international and talk to Joanne in Chatham, Ontario. Good morning, Joanne. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, guys. Yesterday, one of you gave a recipe for an organic mixture for killing weeds. I'm interested in not harming any monarch butterflies. So now, and I've got vinegar, 1 gallon, and Dawn, I think it was a quarter cup. But what was the third thing?
Salt.
Salt.
One cup of salt.
Now, you say natural or organic.
Non-toxic.
You know, non-toxic. Salt is toxic. Salt's going to kill what's ever there and probably kill it for a long time. The Dawn dish soap, people argue with some chemicals that are in that, but we kind of lean back to when there's an oil spill, what do they use to clean those cute little ducklings with? Dawn dish soap. So if it's good for them, it's not an all-natural weed killer or vegetation killer, but it's as close as we can get. And
yeah,
nowhere near as expensive as the stuff you can find at the stores.
As close as we could find, that's right.
And so how much salt did you say? What quantity?
One cup.
Okay, 1 cup. Right, very good. Well, I'll give this a whirl. I'm interested in protecting monarch butterflies, and that's why I don't want to do anything to harm them.
Milkweed. Okay. Keep growing exactly. That milkweed.
Oh, I've got milkweed. I've kept it.
God bless you. That'll attract the monarchs. It'll feed them. Yep.
I've only seen five so far this year.
Wow.
Anyway. That's more than four.
That's right. I appreciate your help. Thanks very kindly.
You say
thank
well.
You, ma'am.
Keep in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Chuck?
We used to see a bunch up north. We've seen a very, very few, and we try to encourage our milkweed. True story.
I know. What do you think? I know. When it comes to nature, I know your true self. What do you think? Does this have something to do with the bees and the worms and everything else we're seeing less of?
Did you walk outside this morning? When I first went out, I think I counted 10 worms on my entire driveway after all that rain. I mean, that was a soaking rain last night.
Gotcha. If you'd stop throwing pesticides all over your lawn and not stop killing them and their families, you'd probably see more of them.
If you saw my lawn, you'd know better than me.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, let's stick to the phones. Let's keep it going. Let's talk to David in Toledo. Good morning, David. You're on with the Inside Outside Guys on WJR.
I have a sidewalk problem. The house is quite a bit above the sidewalk, the street sidewalk. And The part of that transition is made up by a step from the street sidewalk up onto the sidewalk to the house. And the step is concrete. The sidewalk to the house is brick. And with the slope, that step should hold those bricks in place. But the frost is pushing up that step. How deep a footer do I need to put underneath that or to create a step from?
So the your actual walkway for your house is brick at the end, and you have a concrete walkway leading up to it.
There's a concrete step at the end of the brick.
Okay. All right. A footing, I tell you what. A footing for that, you're supposed to go 42 inches, but that just seems like real overkill. I might go 18 inches and just load it with some steel. If I can put any pins coming from the concrete into the brick joints, maybe lay one layer of brick, then put a couple pins drilled in, and then lay the rest of it. What do you think, Chuck?
Yeah, I agree, and maybe even go a little dig a touch deeper and put some good 10A stone in there and pour your your footing, if you will, on top of that, footing and step on top of that. It wouldn't be a lot of concrete either way.
Good point. Yeah,
I agree with you. It's just, boy, that's deep. But if you have a little drainage area underneath that, that might mitigate the action of freezing water, and 10A stone or pea gravel are good for that. Then that's a good idea. So dig down a little deeper, line it with a filter cloth, fill it with 10A stone up to the bottom of whatever depth you're going to pour the concrete, and then pour your new concrete and do it the way Ken suggested.
Yeah, at least at that point, any water that gets beneath will drain through that stone. Yeah,
good. Yeah, and if it freezes, it'll expand into the gaps between the rocks and stone rather than push up on the concrete.
David, that makes sense to you?
Yeah, I got, I'm trying to, well, never mind.
Well, tell me that, David. Why don't you send us an email? Go to theinsideoutsideguys.com, send us an email, and we'll go over that with you. If you're looking for a professional to do this, we don't have any that go in the Toledo area, but go to a local brickyard or masonry supply house, and I'm sure they can recommend somebody in your area that can help you. Okay. All right, let's see. We're about to go out of break. When we get back from break, we will talk to David from Algonac and continue taking your calls at 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. Chuck, you also have some plumbing tips for people coming up, correct?
Yeah, we're gonna talk some plumbing maintenance tips right behind some of your intriguing information regarding the early light bulbs. But, you know, I've been thinking about how truly hot it's been these last couple of weeks. And if people's air conditioning isn't functioning properly, they're going to be shocked at their electric bill. And they should have got that tune-up you and I recommended, 3 months ago?
Oh, we've already had some emails saying, please, my AC is not working. Send someone to me.
Yeah.
And that may have been avoided if you would have called Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning for a AC air conditioning clean and check for only $89, still available to you if you call Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning. Where else can you go for over 80 years of combined housing experience? The longest continuous home improvement show running in the state of Michigan, or as far as we know, the Midwest. The InsideOutsideGuys.com, the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook. Whenever you need help, whether it's advice or you need someone to help you build a new castle, the Inside Outside Guys are here for you 24/7. 888-654-GUYS. Get you the guys right now. 888-654-4897. Let's take a ride over to Algonac and talk to David. How you doing, David? You're on with the Inside Outside Guys on WJR.
Hey, good morning, guys. You there?
We're here, buddy.
Hey, good. Thank you. Hey, thanks. Appreciate the show and all the information. I've got a question that sounds possibly similar to your earlier caller. I've got some garage floor failure. In my opinion, it seems like it's raising at the 16-foot wide garage door. To the point where I've got like a half moon shaped crack that goes into the garage about 6 to 7 feet, and it's cracked, like I said, in a half moon shape. And I'm wondering a couple things. Number one, when I hammer that out of there, can I expect a footing across that open garage, that 16-foot garage door? And if there is no footing, should I put a footer when I repour it?
How old's the house?
2004.
Then you should have a footing underneath there if it's 2004.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If they didn't, the inspector wasn't doing his job.
Oh my goodness.
Right. I could. So the footer will go across the front of the garages. I know the sides where the bearing walls would be. But there would be also a footer across the front of that garage too, you figure?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Which is why that front floor edge should never move vertically, because you should have a footer under that. And if it was raising, it should jam up against the side rails of your garage door opener. But unless your garage door opener and the door itself have been disabled, you know, it's probably not a big deal on the lift there. You sure the other one isn't just shrinking or settling?
So that was right. That was my first thought, that my driveway was settling, because I have the one corner is, I would say, 3.5 inches or more. And then the other side is a little, not quite as deep, probably about 2 inches or more, 2.5. So, yeah, I thought my driveway was settling where it meets the garage floor, but if I take into consideration all of my other existing sidewalk, all of my other driveway areas, that is all completely level. For it to settle all evenly like that, to me, it just doesn't make sense. To have the half moon crack in my garage, I think it's heaving.
Yeah, the half moon crack could be a result of backfill that wasn't properly compacted, and then concrete was poured on top of it, depending on whether there's any vertical displacement, like Ken, you know, settling. It is far more common for that first slab outside the garage to lose material that's supporting it underneath.
Yeah, Chuck, great point. And thing is, those two slabs, if it's a 16-foot garage door, those two slabs can settle perfectly together as they go down. And then that's when we refer companies like A1 Concrete Leveling to come in, and they can level them right back up to the top of your the top of your garage floor. You there? You still there?
I'm here. Yep.
Okay. That makes sense, David?
It does. I appreciate it, and I'll get to work on that project.
Yeah. If you have any questions, InsideOutsideGuys.com, you can find A1 Concrete Leveling, Brickworks Property Restoration that can take care of some concrete work for you, too. And then we have some foundation companies there. What's A1 concrete leveling also does foundation work as well. So take a look. If you need help, we're there for you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, fellas.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. All right. 888-654-GUYS. Keep the questions coming. Let's talk to Gary in Clinton Township. Good morning, Gary. You're on with the guys.
Hello?
How are you, Gary?
Hello? I'm fine. It's not. It's Clinton, the village of Clinton. I'm west of Detroit.
Oh, I. You know what? He did put Clinton, and I just assumed. I apologize.
That's fine. That's fine. I have a Maytag gas range, and the oven seems to be very temperamental, and it won't heat up the way it's supposed to. And whenever lately, when we've tried to cook, you could smell the gas when it we'd put it at 350 and it'd be going for 20, 30 minutes and it'd only go up to 175 and then you can smell the gas, so we shut it down. And I'm wondering if it's a sensor. It's over 20 years old. I'd rather not buy one if I don't have to, but if I have to, I will.
It could very well be a sensor. It sounds as though that's what it is. Those have high and low temperature limiting switches built into them that will prevent them from overheating and generally dictate to the unit, you know, what temperature you want it to heat up to. We've got a couple appliance repair people that we could refer you to, or you might go online if you're handy at all to repairclinic.com. Repairclinic, one word, .com.
Repairclinic.com?
Yes. And enter the information about your specific unit, and chances are really good that they've got a video that'll explain to you what and how to correct the problem there, and they would have the piece in stock. Their whole thing is that they've got all that, those pieces, parts right there. They can ship to you.
Wow. Well, that's, I'm going to try that. That sounds really nifty.
If it doesn't work, get back with us. Sorry.
Thanks a lot for your time.
You're welcome, Gary. You're welcome. Keep listening. You know, Chuck, you're talking about appliance and appliance repair. I got to tell you something that happened to me this week. I saw a company, Detroit Appliance LLC, okay. And they looked like they were, you know, you could tell, you and I say a lot of times, you can look at a truck and tell whether they're a legitimate business. So I picked up my phone, took a look at their website. They got a great website. They're over on 9 Mile in East Point. So I went over to the young man in the thing, and I said, here's my card. Please have your boss call me. I'd like to talk to him. And what was really cool, within about an hour, the gentleman gives me a call. And I said, told him my name. Have you heard of the show? And he goes, yeah, I heard it through my friend Jeremy Campbell from Brickworks.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously?
This week? Just this week. I mean, almost knocked me. I said, I can't believe he just dropped his name. He was on the show last week with us.
Good Lord works in mysterious ways.
It does. And you know, if those two are connected with each other, then this is a good company, Detroit Appliance LLC. And I want to give the number out for people.
Sure.
Because we just like giving good companies numbers out. And it's 248-554-5480. And they're out of Fraser, and they cover Metro Detroit area, basically Macomb, Wayne, Macomb, Oakland County. And they do a lot of work for the DTE. I think they do most of the work for DTE and consumers.
Under their warranty programs?
Their warranty programs, yep. And you name it, you got an appliance, they'll take care of it. And they also have a nice coupon on their website as well, Detroit_appliance.com. We'll be talking more about them in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, boy, I love hearing stories like that. I do believe there's something in the universe that directs us toward each other. You know, people like that.
Yes,
I really do. That's cool.
Yeah. You know, it's a great story. You can just tell it's a good company. Like I said, if they're friends with Jeremiah Campbell over at Brickworks, and we're impressed with them because we've got a lot of people, after we interviewed Jeremiah about the concrete work last week at Brickwork, have contacted us. We've been looking for a good company for a long time, and we found them.
I'd like to know how many email listeners we referred to Brickworks just this past week. Oh, my goodness.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, another thing we get a lot of emails about, Chuck, are critters in attics. You know, a lot of critters are making their way into people's attics. And people, you have to take a good look at the exterior of your house and seal up any of those. The smallest void you may see, the smallest opening you may see, you need to close it. And what they're doing is they're going up there and they're building homes and they're defecating and they're contaminating the attic and the air. And who we normally refer for that is Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning. And people go, Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning? Well, think about it, everybody. They got these giant vacuum trucks. And then, well, let me go back. Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning and Insulation. So they got these giant vacuum trucks that can go in and suck all of that contaminated insulation out and apply new insulation. So don't let that happen to you. If you keep a good look at your house, make sure that you keep those areas sealed up. Don't let those critters in your attic.
Well, make sure your bushes, shrubs, trees, everything is cut way back from the house. You know, don't do anything like you and your bird feeder. Don't do anything that encourages critters close to or in your house.
You are so right. I've seen that so much. People don't care about it. Hey, listen, the gutters, if you've been seeing this rain and your gutters are overflowing, we have a company for you that can not only give you new gutters, 6-inch gutters, get the rain way away from your house, but they can give you some of the best gutter protection out there. They do a few things, and they do them right. Gutters, kitchens, helping people stay in their homes. Of course, we're talking about Atlas Home.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Want to remind you that the show today is all about you at 888-654-GUYS. I almost wrote the wrong phone number. I was looking at a list as I said that. 888-654-GUYS.
Hey, let's stick with the phones and talk to Joe in Commerce. Joe, how you doing? You're on with the guys. You there, Joe? Hey, Joe, we hear your radio, bud.
Yep, okay. Well, I'm turning the radio off and getting down to some serious business here.
All right.
I got two things I want to talk about. Number one, a garage floor. My garage floor is pocked where the wheels are. The salt has dripped off, and, of course, it's eaten away the top smoothness of the floor. So I would like to find out. From what I see, they talk about epoxy. I'm scared of it because it is so slippery, and I know they do put sand in. They sand them sometimes if you request that or whatever, but maybe you can give me some information on that. Also, do you have anybody that has like a floor sander that sands a small deck, or how about a deck painter?
Okay, well, I'll start with the first one. I think of McFarland for the second one. But the garage floor, there's really nothing you're going to be able to put over top of that floor that is not going to be slipperier than average cement. That being said, a garage floor is hard trowel finished. So a garage floor is going to be slipperier than any exterior cement anyway. A company like Motor City Floors and Coatings, which is right in your backyard, they're going to come out and they're going to put a non-epoxy, a much better product than epoxy in. And Chuck, they put it around pool decks. They put them on porches. They put them on steps. They put them on front walkways. Is it slipperier? Yeah, but I don't see it being so slippery where it's an issue. Do you?
No, and I would disagree with you that there's nothing you can put on concrete that'll keep it from being slippery, because I do think that coating that Motor City will do can give you tractability, and they can increase the traction. I mean, they use that stuff in hospitals and all kinds of public gathering areas where, you know, winter water is being brought in on the floor. So that's a huge issue, and I would say that finish is a great suggestion, Ken.
That's Motor City what?
Motor City Floors and Coatings. They're right there in Novi by the Suburban Collection Showplace, right across the street.
Okay.
And you can find them at our website, theinsideoutsideguys.com.
Okay. That takes care of number one, I guess. Number two, do you have anything you can tell me about? Now, I've got an old wood deck, and I'm not going to replace it. And I've been scraping on it a little bit. I'm getting most of the old, because it's painted now. It's not stained. This has been stained. This is a 35-year-old deck, and it's the wood is still solid, I think. And I don't use it hardly, but I do want to freshen it up. And so I have been scraping it and wondering if you have someone that does small decks that paints them and or has one of those floor sanders where they can just go out and just touch up the floor of the deck. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay. Well, let me give you the phone number to McFarland Painting. Do you have a pen handy?
Okay. McFarland.
Yes, sir. It's 734-564-6664.
6664. Do you have a phone number for Motor City Floor and Coating?
Oh, I sure do. Give me 1 second just to look that up. Let's see here. Okay. Their phone number is, 248-613-5888.
5888.
Yes.
Okay, do you have any suggestions on any of that? Like the floor, well, there are two floors, well, one's cement, one's wood.
Well, the wood floor, for Ken and I are constantly talking about those wood decks. We're big believers you don't paint them or put a solid overcoat on them, that you put a oil-based transparent stain. Still thinking that way, Ken?
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you put a solid or you paint them, eventually they're going to need maintenance. They're going to need maintenance. All decks need maintenance, but they're going to need a quicker way to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started out. Pardon?
That garage floor, if you call Motor City Floors and Coatings, they'll send one of their guys out, and they'll give you all the options. They'll talk to you about your concerns about the slipperiness, and comes in multiple different colors. And remember, they put a 15-year warranty on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Labor and material, yeah.
Okay. So then on the deck, see, this deck is old, and I started it out with natch with the stain, where you just put the stain on it. And then I did a stain with pigment and so on, and I progressed to the point where I couldn't cover it up, so I just painted it. And I'm not unhappy with that, except it's been painted 4 or 5 years ago, and there's some peeling and so on.
Yeah, well, you can avoid that entirely. You can put a new coat of an oil-based transparent on every year. Easily with very little prep. So we like that for deck surfaces.
Okay. Hopefully that helped you, Joe. We got to try to get to Gary real quick before we run out of time for this hour. Gary, back with us from Clinton?
Hi. I was so excited you could help me before. I forgot to ask you about the you mentioned a sewer liner that they put in an old sewer that has roots coming through, and my house was built in 1892, and the sewer is under the driveway, and it would be a big problem to dig it up and repair it. And I get roots every year.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to refer to you is you call Z Plumbers.
800-654-1300.
654-1300. And it's called Z Plumbers.
Z. Yep. Z is in zebra. They'll come out and take a look and see if you're a candidate for it.
Okay.
All right.
And they work in the far west side, you figure?
Oh, yes, sir.
Hopefully you're still excited.
Okay. Yeah, I am. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all, sir.
Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate your call. Hey, we just referred McFarland Painting, did we not, buddy?
Yeah, we did, and for good reason, because they're more than just a painting company, Ken. You and I have seen examples of them going in and it, literally in a week converting a kitchen without tearing stuff out.
A lot of it has to do with their handyman division that can help fix things as well, whether you have some bad drywall, you need some knobs put on your cabinets.
Yeah.
Or the whole house painted. You can trust McFarland Painting.
Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. Phone lines are open for you. Ken and I were just rehashing old advertising jingles. We were thinking we should write some for long-term sponsors like Kearns Brothers and a few others, Pro Home Improvement.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Speaking of Kearns Brothers, earlier Pamela called from Clarkston, and they were talking about getting roofs done, and that's something that Kearns Brothers does on a regular basis. They do entire condominium complexes, entire apartment complexes.
So Mike, if you're Kearns is handling that business now.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're on the board of one of those associations, make sure you keep Kearns Brothers in mind. They do wonderful work.
You know, my sister and brother-in-law have a condominium in a decent size development in Davison, and Kearns redid their project a year or two ago, and they were thrilled with it. So,
and that's a long way away from Dearborn Heights and Plymouth, Davison. Yes, so that tells people they travel around Southeast Michigan. So,
yeah.
Yep, good company to call. Hey, let's stick with the phones. Let's talk more about roofs with Tom in Rochester Hills. Good morning, Tom. You're on with the Inside Outside Guys on WJR.
Good morning, guys. I got an interesting problem. Last week, I had my roof inspected by two of your prominent suppliers. And I got two different answers. One said I needed to replace my roof, and the other one said I needed to just maintain it. And I don't know what to do.
How old is your roof, sir?
15 years.
And 15?
It was when I put it in, it was a 15.
Thank you.
So when I put it in, it was a 30-year roof. So it's only halfway through a supposed 30-year life cycle. Okay. I've had no problems with the roof so far. The reason I called them was just to see if I did have a problem that I wasn't aware of.
I got you.
Any advice?
I think you're wise to have called. You know, it's funny. I was just driving out of my own sub yesterday, and I was noticing how many people in my subdivision are replacing roofs that I look at least on the drive-by, and go, that roof does not need to be replaced.
Sure.
If a professional that I trusted told me I did not need to replace it, then I wouldn't replace it.
You know, my line to that is they want to replace it. You know, they're there to replace it. They'd rather replace it. Good point. And if someone says to me, I don't need to replace it. And now when he said maintain, did he give you a bid? Did he give you any, what is he doing to maintain it?
I'm sorry, I lost your voice there for about 30 seconds, so I lost.
We apologize. The contractor that said you need to maintain it, did he offer you any solutions or any prices to help you with that?
No, I lost you again.
Boy, I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're having a little bit of issue with the phone line for some reason. If you want to listen, let's go back to the radio. We'll talk about this on the radio for a second and make sure we get your answer. You say it again, Chuck. You know, one guy tells you to replace it. One guy tells you you can maintain it. The maintenance, why would that guy say no to money? Why would he say no to something they do all the time and that they want to do? So I'm going to trust both, you know, both. But maintenance-wise, if they come in and they take a look at the flashings, they take a look at the penetrations, they take a look at, we talked yesterday, Chuck, about a boot, a simple boot around a stack waste vent that went bad. And they can go bad in 15 years, depending on what elevation, which way they're facing. And someone going up on that roof and checking that out may just say, okay, we need to replace this boot. We need to repair this flashing. You agree with that, buddy?
Yeah, we've talked to Bill at Kanga. We've talked to Mark at Kearns. many times, you know, roofs don't tend to fail in the field, which is where most of your shingles are. That's what you see when you look up at the roof. The roofs tend to fail in the valleys. They tend to fail in the places that Ken was just mentioning. So if somebody says you need maintenance, I'm going to say specifically, this is a question you were trying to ask Eric. What things do we need to have done? And can you do those for me?
Right. Yeah. Right. Because it could get him another 10, 15 years just by doing that maintenance. And, you know, you mentioned Kanga. Kanga has a booklet that they'll sit there and show you. I mean, already pre-made pricing that they'll show you at the table. Here's the cost to take care of your job.
Yeah.
So they do that all the time.
You know, it's funny because we don't need to know roofs, even though you and I have done a bunch of them. But the listener doesn't. And,
right.
And Bill and his people at Kanga, there's almost nothing that can happen to a roof that they haven't already dealt with. So they can assign pricing to correcting those issues because they are specialists in that particular type of system.
Yep. And we're talking about Four Seasons Kanga Roof. Let's stick to the phones. Hopefully they get a little bit better here. Let's talk to Eric in Sandusky again. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, fellas. I went and dug through my phone a little bit and I had some pictures from when they poured the concrete. And I don't see any rebar in it. It's just gravel. The size of the room is 10 foot by 20 foot. They did put deep footers in. They're like 40-inch deep footers. But I don't see any rebar. How concerned do I got to be about the crazing?
Well, the crazing, not a lot. And if you've got 40-inch footings, which could be the depths they call for in your area there, Ohio, that makes me feel a lot better.
Me too.
If it's on that deep of footings.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I couldn't remember whether there was any steel in it, but I didn't see any. I've got pictures, you know, it's gravel. And the permit is written up to be just stone. They don't say anything about rebar. But the inspection, the township inspector has a box for inspecting it. But I don't, tell you the truth, I don't think they came out and inspected it. You know, I think they dug it, got the stone in, and the weather was right, so they came on a Saturday and poured it.
Well, if you remember, we first talked about cracks. We weren't talking about crazing, and that's when I talked about how important that rebar was. And that crazing can be taken care of with that motor, with the floor coating that we talk about, whether it's from Motor City or TruTech, they can take care of that. Okay. And if you're not seeing any signs of shifting now, and you have a 40 to 42 inch foundation, I don't think you have a lot to worry about.
Okay.
You agree, partner?
Okay.
I agree 1,000%. Yep. Okay. Keep in touch with us, though, okay?
All right, thanks.
Hey, Chuck, what is the least expensive way to capture more living space in a house?
Well, generally speaking, it's to go down, but you got to go down with a company that's going to make sure you never have any foundation problems, water infiltration in the basement, and then, of course, they can give you lower level luxury if it's who is that company, Ken?
If it's a basement waterproofing and finishing system from Basements Plus.
Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. The phone lines are open, 888-654-4897. And if you had water come in your basement, but it's never happened since, you know, before, but last night it did. Yesterday, Ken and I noticed that the earth, the backfill against a lot of foundations was actually shrinking away from the basements because it's been so dry and hot. And you get a heavy continuous downpour like we got last night, and water will fill that gap until the clay re-expands against the basement and kind of shuts it off, if you will. So some of you may have had infiltration last night, and you never have it. And that might be the explanation as to why.
Good point. To fill that gap, don't put anything down. Just go around with a shovel and kind of push that back up against the side. Don't put any gravel down there or anything, because that'll just make it run down there even faster.
So, yeah, you sure don't want want pea stone down there. And you might as well put up a sign. Come here, water.
Exactly. 888-654-4897. Taking any and all of your housing questions. Let's go to the phones and talk to Johnny from Ypsilanti. Johnny, you're on with the guys.
What? How you doing?
Good. How are you? How can we help you, sir?
Oh, I have a wood burning chimney in my house, and the wood on the side is splitting, you know, not too far up, but, you know, I'm trying to find a handyman, somebody could come, you know, how to fix that, you know.
Okay, so your chimney is a wood chimney. It's not a brick chimney. It's a wood chase chimney. Is that right?
It's a wood chimney, and it's wood and vinyl. But the wood has split.
Okay.
And span it, you know, got bigger. But it's not too high up. But it's high enough for me with a medical problem.
Believe me, the older I get, the higher gets. You know, yeah, some handyman handyman connections might take a look at that, Ken. Ken Handy, Johnny, sorry, partner.
Close by?
We've got a phone number for a company called Handyman Connections.
Well, not too expensive. No, don't want $1 million guy. I don't want somebody.
Well, we can't answer to that, buddy. All we can do is get you some information and get somebody over there. So, do you have a pen handy?
But stress slow. You know, I'm kind of slow writing.
Okay. Chuck, you have the number, buddy?
Yeah, I do. It is 734.
9,000.
Yeah, Johnny, give them a call, and they'll be able to take you to come out and take a look at it. You may be able to actually send some pictures, okay?
Okay. He's in the way back,
All right. Hey, let's stick with the phones. Let's talk to Nancy in White Lake. Good morning, Nancy. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi, ma'am. How can we help you?
Yes. I had a roof, new roof put on, and... it was like almost coming up on 2 years. And I had someone in my attic recently to check the insulation. And they pointed out that the ridge vent at the top was only cut out on one side.
Ooh.
So now I'm concerned. And, you know, I've got to notify the roofer. And I want to, you know, I would never have known it. How would you know that wasn't done right? You know, I mean, and so, yeah. And so now, you know, I thought it looked beautiful. I was very happy with it. I'm working on a roof, on a leak to the ceiling below. And now I'm thinking, oh yeah, the new attic, the new insulation, well, whatever, the roof isn't going to vent properly. And, so, my husband's concerned, what is the correct way to repair that? And what do we have to worry about?
We have to worry about matching.
Yeah, good point, Chuck. Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
We don't know for certain that they did not cut enough out for the particular ridge vent they installed. Even though they only cut on one side, air would still have access to the entire vent. And I don't know what roofing company this is, so Ken and I certainly aren't going to defend. You know,
it's up north. It's an up north
if
company.
If it is done incorrectly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chuck, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish, buddy.
No, I was just going to say, until you know for a fact that it is not functioning properly, it really is a moot point. So my perspective would be to get, do you know what brand of shingles it is? Is it CertainTeed or some other brand?
I believe it was... I think GAF? It was GAF. I think they were GAF shingles, but that's not the roof ridge vent. I'm talking the ridge vent, you know.
Yeah, well, no, we know. But those all work together. GAF makes a roof vent that they all work in tandem together, so you get the premium warranty. What we're trying to say is every attic and every roof has a mathematic problem or a mathematic equation for venting. And you may have that up in your attic right now with what they did. Now, I think Chuck and I, you and I would rather see that not just one half, maybe vents, maybe 4 foot pieces going down. But you may have what Chuck's trying to say is you may have the proper amount of ventilation right now.
I would have a GAF representative come out and look at it.
Will they do that?
Pardon me?
Oh, sure.
Will they do that?
Oh, of course they will. Yeah, that's their product on your roof. You're darn right. They don't want it to fail in 5 years because it's not properly vented. Yeah.
So don't go back to the contractor. Go to GAF and ask for a representative to come out and evaluate if it's been properly installed for the roof, for the square footage and the construction of the home and the dimensions, all
correct.
That.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Take a look
at like
paper.
That.
Take a look at your paperwork and see what they offered you as far as warranty. If they were a certified GAF installer, they're going to be able to offer you more of a warranty, and they're going to be held more accountable by GAF if they did something wrong in that attic.
And if not?
Well, then your recourse is with the contractor to try to get them to make it right. And it is not a terribly difficult thing to remove that ridge. Now, they probably will destroy it by removing it and have to, you know, put a new ridge down. But they could take that off. They could cut the top of the other side of the sheathing and put a new ridge vent down at the top of the roof, and then everything would be fine. So if you're a professional, that correction isn't huge.
So it doesn't involve replacing shingles and matching shingles to existing shingles on there?
Only the ridge vent.
Oh, so I get it. I mean, it's like you take the top off and you trim out the opening where it should have been and you put the new cover on.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Actually, Nancy, you could do it tomorrow. No,
I don't want to do it tomorrow.
No, but that would be the solution.
I thinking that they wrap the...
We're saying, Nancy, it could be right now, and especially if you went up there and you saw no signs of humidity, no signs of mold on the underdecking, it very possibly is right.
Exactly.
But we would have someone from GAF come out, and anything you communicate with your roofer, do over email. Do it in writing, okay? But once again, go back to your paperwork and take a look at what kind of warranty was put in there and if they were certified by GAF to put that roof on.
Yeah. Should I notify them before or just get the GAF guy out there first and then tell them because why get him involved if they say it's okay, right?
Good point. You answered your own question.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, I like that idea. Yeah, so... thank you so much, because I was fretting that, you know, it looks so beautiful, and, like, I had no idea this was going on, and, you know, I thought it, you know, look at the paperwork on ridge vents, and it looks like you're supposed to cut them on both sides, and why weren't
typically
they cut on both sides?
Yeah, typically you do, but it might be right without that, so, yep, get that rep out there first.
Yeah, like we said, I think instead of having half cut out, we'd rather see, like, 4-foot sections cut out down the line, wouldn't you, Chuck? You don't understand what I'm saying there, buddy?
No, typically what we do is parallel to the peak or top of the roof, we cut out about 2 inches.
Oh, I know.
Top of the sheathing along the entire length.
I agree with you. We'll talk more about it when we get back from break, okay? it's good conversation. And here's someone that will do it right. We've been friends with these guys. They've been a team partner since 2010. We met them back at the Pontiac Silverdome that doesn't even exist anymore. If your house has a case of the uglies, you need a new roof, CertainTeed Certified Installers, Pro Home Improvement.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Phone lines are open, 888-654-4897. Ken, you and I spent the break talking about Nancy in White Lake. Her roofing question. It was a good one.
Yeah.
And for the average listener was probably sitting there going, what the heck are you talking about? At the very peak of the roof, everybody can picture the high point of your roof and how it, you know, runs the entire length of the roof, whether front to back or left to right. And what we do is install at the very top of the shingles a specialized vent system that looks like the shingles, but it lets warm, moist air exhaust out of the attic. And in order for that to happen, roofing companies will typically cut away the roof deck or sheathing that the shingles lay on right at the peak of the roof, maybe 2 inches down on each side. They'll cut a strip the entire length of the ridge. But sometimes they only cut a strip on one side. And that's what they may have done in Nancy's case. And you can still often get effective ventilation and exhaust if you do that. So you and I suggested they get a manufacturer's rep out there to just to verify that that's the truth. And she probably does not have an issue. It's been two years.
What? I agree with you. And you and I, you know, I was talking about maybe cutting out every 4 feet. And you said, Ken, why wouldn't you just leave one side open of that roof? And okay, that's even smarter. That was even a better solution. And then we got a text from our old buddy Sid Brown from the Contractors Board, State of Michigan. And he said that sometimes they will do that in high snow areas, especially in the open, or maybe if it's facing the weather side, for they don't get built up inside the attic with snow, which makes sense as well.
And I saw, I've mentioned on the show in the past, in the 15 years we've been doing this, where I saw that happen with the early Ridge Vent product. I am so old, that wasn't a common way to do roofs. And when we first started using it, it wasn't at all unusual for snow to infiltrate the webbing, the mesh that they've got underneath that finished product inside the attic. And you literally could walk up into an attic in January and see a mound of snow right under the ridge, across the entire attic, which eventually was going to melt and then maybe stain and your attic or your ceiling drywall and leak into the house.
And this comes back to the thousands of relationships you and I have made over the years. Sid Brown's a great guy, and many of them, and we may not have thought about that if Sid didn't send it to us. And he, you know, the prevailing winds will drive that snow in there, like you said, and we appreciate him reminding us of that.
They started to build a ridge vent that actually has a vertical riser on each side of it along its entire length.
I get it.
It functions as both a rain channel and a thing to distort wind that is blowing directly, you know, across the top of the ridge.
Deflect.
And it's a vertical rise of maybe 3/4 of an inch to 1 inch, and then it has a slight bend outward on it. So it'll deflect wind blowing straight at that ridge, or that's its intention, and thus any snow or rain that might have gotten in there otherwise.
Science. It's all building science. It's pretty interesting stuff, isn't it? Because a lot of people aren't going to think, you know, a ridge vent will go on differently depending on where the house is physically located, you know, or the vents may go on differently. It's very interesting stuff. Chuck, we had an email this week. Oh, by the way, we're taking your phone calls. 888-654-GUYS. 888-654-4897. Let's do some quick garage door maintenance tips, because we got an email this week, someone asking us for garage door maintenance. And when it comes to garage doors, there's one thing we'll say you never, ever, 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 ever touch, and that is a spring of a garage door as a homeowner. Do you agree?
I agree. I used to install, you know, on the houses we built, I would actually install the doors, the garage doors initially, because if they're not done well and proper,
yeah,
it's an issue. You know, you and I were at a house that was just under $1 million house, I don't know, within the last 4 months. You told me the next day how much that house cost.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I remember while we were there, they raised the garage door, the 16-foot garage door, and it was a god-awful screech. It sounded like something dying. Do you remember that?
You know what? I do, and that was a brand-new door. Yeah, you're right.
Brand-new. And I went in, and I told the owner, I said, you got to get your installers back out here, because otherwise that thing's going to come off its tracks, and something is bent or distorted or knocked loose or improperly installed.
That's what people say about us.
You're right about that.
No, that's a great point. But one thing people do wrong when it comes to maintenance of doors, they'll grab a can of whatever may be WD-40 or silicone, and they just spray. They just get in there and they spray the wheels, they spray the tracks, they spray the springs, they spray everything, and they overdo it. So we don't want you to spray the tracks ever. It's like imagine a truck stuck in mud down south. It's just going to spin. You do not want that.
Well,
you can
actually create problems. Yeah.
You can spray the wheels, just behind the wheels. The bearings. There you go. And also the spring itself is very important that you keep that lubricated. Now the caveat is, Once you spray that, do not open that door and let it stay open, because you're going to have some drippage coming off that spring. If that spring is rusted, you spray it, you open your door, you could wind up staining your garage door.
That's assuming you've got the torsion spring that runs across the top of the door.
Which most people do, yeah.
Today, yeah, the old ones had the side springs.
Yeah, you're right.
Above, and those, we, again, stay away from those completely. Don't lubricate them. Don't touch them. And then you can spray the hinges between panels. Just like
there you go. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And that will make it easier for your garage door opener to open that door, which will make it last longer. And that goes for any appliance in your house.
I've seen people shoot grease out of a grease gun on the tracks.
Yeah.
And what can happen is literally the opener can... it becomes so slippery that the door is distorted out of square when it's being lowered.
Right.
Because that's when you're exerting tension on the spring. You're basically winding the spring when the opener is lowering that door.
Yep.
And that's when all the tension and force is. And if that track is too slick, you could mess that up big time.
Yeah, you also need to be aware of the eye, the electronic eye you should have on every garage door at the bottom. Keep that just once in a while. Just walk over to it, remove any dust or cobweb, take your finger and just wipe the eye off, because you don't want to be pulling in, or you want that to make sure it always works.
And one way to test that for most of the openers, if you have a light on the opener, is just to run your hand or foot, you know, in the beam, break the beam, and the light will go on. If that light goes on, then you know you've got a clear path for the electronic beam to function well. But you can also hold something up to break the beam when you're lowering the door to double check that the door does indeed stop then and go back up.
And if you ever go to shut your door and it won't shut, it goes down about a foot, then comes back up, that's what you want to check first. Walk over and take a look at that beam and make sure it's aligned. If it just gets knocked out an eighth of an inch, they're not going to hit each other as they grow across. So it may just be a matter of aligning that. I remember not that a couple of years ago, I'm driving down the road and I see my neighbor up on a little small stool. She's trying, I could tell what she's doing. She's trying to get her door shut and it wasn't working for her. And I just ran up and I luckily knew what right to do. I aligned that little beam for her and it shut right away, and she made her golf game in time.
Years ago, I pulled up to a house that I was going to present a proposal to, and the door was closed, and the head of one of their pets was under the door.
Wow.
That system had failed. It was a hard, it was so difficult to knock on the door and say, by the way, you know, I mean, oh, I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take your phone calls. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. You want to buy a window, buy a good window that's made in the Great White North. You want to consider Clarkston Window and Door. Hey, we want to thank everyone for tuning in today to the Inside Outside Guys. Just know if you don't get a chance to listen to us on Saturday and Sunday morning, go to theinsideoutsideguys.com, the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook. We'll get our shows on there as well. And don't forget, every Friday you can read the guys' article at the Detroit News Homestyle section. It's a great article. We get a lot of real positive feedback from it. We are here for you 24/7 for whatever you need at theinsideoutsideguys.com.
With regard to construction.
Yes. Although you and I can probably give marital advice. We've been married long enough. We could help out.
Yeah. I mean, since it's free, it's worth what you pay for, right?
There you go. There you go. You know, 888.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to give the number out, 888-654-GUYS. Give us a call.
We had somebody ask us just yesterday, I think it was, in an email, if we post our shows for them to listen to after the fact.
Yes. Yep. They're always at theinsideoutsideguys.com. Yeah. And if you are looking for a contractor, when you go to theinsideoutsideguys.com, if you just scroll down to find a professional, you'll see a whole bunch of categories there, and you can probably find your contractor at that point. If not, send us an email. And also, if you keep scrolling, you will see the special offers page. So a lot of our team partners offer another bonus offer in that page. companies like Atlas, Window World, Clark's Pro Window and Door, Pro Home Improvement. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they've offered some tremendous upgrades, literally free of charge, you know, from one shingle to a far better shingle, just because you mentioned the inside outside guys. So boy, I agree with you. Take a look at that coupon page at the website.
Yep. And keep an eye on the Inside Outside Guys Facebook page. If you like the page, tell your friends, like the page. We keep up with it. We give you a lot of humor, but a lot of good information out there as well. Chuck, we put one out today about the Everlasting Light Bulb article that we read recently. It's a really good article. People
it really it. Is. There's a light bulb. There's several as you read the entire article that have lasted
1910
over 100 years.
1910, this has happened. Now, if they can do it from 1910, why can't they do it now?
Well, if you keep reading that entire article into the conspiracy issue, you might say to yourself that it's planned obsolescence, that, gosh, if the bulbs never died, we'd never go buy new ones.
You're right about it. Oh, boy, we could get into a whole subject about that, you know.
Man, couldn't
you? And, you know, I want to remind people when it comes to the do you remember the Last Man Standing with Tim Allen? He had an episode where they were getting rid of the bulbs. You couldn't find them anymore, the CFLs.
Oh, they're getting rid of the incandescent.
I'm sorry. So they went out and tried to buy a stockload of the incandescent before they went away. Now, an LED bulb is supposed to have the longest life, but you don't need LED bulbs everywhere. You don't need to put an LED bulb in a room that you never go into. Just not necessarily. That's too much money for something like that. Put the LED.
A lot cheaper, though. Forgive me for cutting
you off. They have.
Price point initially 5 to 7 years ago was prohibitive for the whole house.
No, you're correct about that. But you don't need to put them in the whole house is what I'm saying. In the rooms that you hardly ever go into. But I got to tell you, even the LED bulbs, Chuck, I've seen them last a year and go out. And that's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, they were telling us a decade, 15 years ago, that those would last 20 to 30 years. And, of course, I'm a cynic, as you know, born and bred, and we are not seeing that. But, you know, the beauty of LED truly is that they can save you money today because they are affordable if you have to replace a bulb. And it's one of those things where you can get full spectrum lighting with them. So literally you can customize the type of light you're getting by choosing, you know, different bulbs, different LED bulbs, where that was never, you know, a possibility for us affordably.
So the bright whites, the soft whites, the yellows, stuff like that is what you're saying.
Yeah, even to grow plants, you know, in case you're one of those people that's doing a little personal grow at home, you can do full spectrum lighting that mimics the sun.
Okay.
And the plants are healthier because of that. And it's really cool when you start to study the different available wavelengths and colors of light that are, you know, out there for us to purchase right off the shelf at an Ace Hardware, you know.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Sure. Of course, you're talking house plants and vegetables and stuff like that, of course, right?
What else would I have been talking
about? Hey, it's Michigan. Everything's legal nowadays, baby. You never, never know.
You know, you and I were also talking about plumbing maintenance, and people go, well, what kind of things would I even be looking at? You know, if you get a waterwork plumbing in there, you know, maybe you say to them, you've got two bathrooms in the house. Please replace the system in the back of my toilet tanks. They're inexpensive to buy for an experienced plumber. They're a quick change out. And you can actually get rid of a lot of the, you know, water, excessive water usage issues and bad flushes, you know, where you're flushing three times with a simple replacement like that. The plumbing vent stack that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oftentimes gets partially plugged over time.
Mm-hmm.
Critters fall down it, leaves drop down it, stuff gets in it, pine needles, and it doesn't get washed out like it should. And suddenly you're flushing a toilet and you're hearing a gurgle every time you flush. It flushes, but you hear a gurgle. That's a sign of a bad drain waste vent issue and a plumbing maintenance checkup can scope that entire system and make sure it's clean. They can flush it for you, make sure it's working properly, and avoid problems.
And one of the many reasons a flush may not flush as good as it used to, all of a sudden it's not flushing like it used to as well. You could have, and you hear the gurgle, you could have that in there as well. And, you know, there are millions of houses out there with 20-year-old toilets, 25-year-old toilets. And a company like Waterwork Plumbing can come in for very inexpensive and replace those guts. Now, once they're there, they're going to give you a minimum price. All companies do. So with that minimum price, get as much stuff done as you can. If you got two toilets, get them taken care of. Have them take a look at your water heater. Have them take a look at your other faucets in the house while they're there.
You know, the shutoffs, a lot of times shutoffs aren't touched for decades. And about the time that you need to actually turn the water off to a device, the shutoff is frozen shut by calcium deposits or something like that.
Good point.
You know, that's another issue that people don't think about. The aging in place, you know, for guys your age, if you want to have them install a comfort seat toilet, you know, that you don't have to sit down as far to use it, which means you don't have to get up as far when you're done using it. Those are available, and that's a pretty easy retrofit for someone like Waterwork.
These are just plumbing maintenance things you can do. What I really like, so talk about new technology, Chuck, are the sensors you can put on your plumbing systems now on actually a copper plumbing pipe. And if you lose any water pressure, no matter where you are in the country, probably the world, it'll send you a message saying that you have a water leak or you're losing plumbing pressure for some reason, and you can get someone over there to take a look at. That is a phenomenal new technology. I spoke years ago, you know, when you lose power, those issues can happen. Those are just small things people can do to reinsure they're not going to have issues, Chuck, because like I said, years ago, we had a friend that had a leak in his basement, and it cost him tens of thousands of dollars to repair that basement.
You don't know it. You can put sensors near your sump pump, and the plumbing company, again, Waterwork, would do a checkup on the sump pump to make sure that it's functioning properly and the base is clean and the impeller, you know, is fully functional at the bottom of it. And that the sensor on the supply side, like you talked about, that's huge. Do you remember Dave Campo talking to you and I about it in the smart house, the sensors they were installing that would literally track your usage over time and adjust accordingly? So if you ended up with a lot more usage in a short period of time that was unusual for you, it would immediately send you that alert and say, put you on notice.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
Maybe it's just your neighbor stealing water out of your garden hose.
Who knows? Those are all just great technologies people can use. And if you have a sump pump that runs a lot, and we're talking, there are sump pumps that run constantly, some that turn on, you know, if your sump pump turns on once a day, get a backup sump pump installed in the crock. If it does not turn on a lot, at least have one on a shelf next to it, okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you so much. All the callers did a great job. Eric, thank you so much back at the studio. We appreciate everything you did for us today.
Absolutely.
During the week, if anyone needs any help, we set it all show. Go to the InsideOutsideGuys.com 24/7. Ask a question. Find a professional. Or go to Facebook and let's have some fun. Okay? Once again, from the roof to the basement, the street to the back fence, if you need it, the Inside Outside Guys are here for you today and every day.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much. Bye-bye.